You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, folks, I have bad news. Very bad news. And I think it would behoove all of you to round up as many people as you can to listen to this broadcast. Concerns all of you. Concerns our future. I think you're going to be astounded at what's happening. It's been happening for a long time, but the latest spate of incidents tell us something that had not been communicated before. While you're at it, you might want to say a little prayer.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Please come out massively. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. Did you got a complaint?
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your code. You better obey if you want to come home. That's what you said and do when you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike. Demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land. And Quentin is saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar, right? Clinton's preparing us for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, creates a panic and rapes the nation. Order out of chaos. Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Programs agitation.
Don't resist. You're surrounded. By the UN in white and blue. The ATF, the men in black, of the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID? Debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood.
For who?
Masonic mind manipulation. Inciting riots, it's crisis creation.
For who?
Biochip implantation. Vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and that can never be taken away. Never be taken away.
Atmospheric. Social illusion. Media hype. land confusion.
Masonic religion, it's a liar. Got you praying for a Luciferian Messiah.
The Illuminati thinks that they're enlightened, that they're to be the gods of Earth, born of incest from the sons of Satan and their sisters in satanic birth. Hidden agenda, Kissinger, Nixon, Ford, and Bill. While your kids out back smoking crack for some cheap thrill. They've numbed us down and dumbed us down with fluoride, TV, drugs, the NEA, and public schools. They've taken your brightest and our best and made them public fools. With managed media, brain-bending lies and filth, the banksters stole your wealth. Johnson, Bush, Carter, Reagan, Gore, and Dan, they've all been pushing pipes, Masonic master plan. Rhodes Scholar oration, Clinton speaks, then rapes the nation. Luciferian subjugation, New World Order, Illuminati coronation,
mass media grand ovation,
orders of the quest, think they're superior, they think that they're the best.
And you're inferior, you little pet.
Skull and Bones, Colon T, Knights Templar, Harvard University,
Fraternity,
Knights of the Golden Circle, Ancient Order of the Rosen Cross, CFR, Albatross,
and both parties, Rockefeller, Bob,
MK Ultra, ISA, from the OSS to the CIA,
mass murder, it's a game they play.
Galileo, NASA, Jupiter, Plutonium 2000,
dual sun. They'll call it Lucifer for fun.
Pyramid Giza, Hitler called it a Luciferian millennium.
1,000 points of light.
Love of Rome, Thunderdome, Isocorp, Lucifer Cut.
If the UN lives, y'all go back.
Wake up, sit with Reed the Scoop, Mullen, Sutton, Griffin, and tune in to Coop.
Come on, Thunderdome, you say.
Bohemian Grove, Beverly Hall, Lord Betrayer, they want it all.
Yeah, they want it all.
Kissinger, Gingrich, Army, Buckley, Dole, New World Order, Authoritarian Control.
Counterfeit.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, that takes on entirely new meaning tonight. Elements of the elite forces of the Special Operations Division of the Department of Defense, in conjunction with the elite forces of the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, the Night Stalkers, stationed in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and Hunter Army Airfield, Georgia, have been at it again. They have been conducting secret night urban warfare exercises with live ammunition and live explosives in American cities, this time all across South Texas. On the 8th of February, Operation Last Dance began in Kingsville, Texas. Helicopters flew at rooftop level, terrifying the civilian residents of that city. Special forces soldiers dropped out of the sky. Explosions were detonated. A gun battle ensued. One building burned and another was badly damaged. It was all part of a secret training exercise that took place Monday, February the 8th, during the night in a town of 25,000 people, not far from Corpus Christi. No one in the city was informed except for the mayor, the police chief, and some members of the police department who were sworn to secrecy by the military. The operation was conducted under the authority of Presidential Decision Directive 25. This is all part of the preparations for the declaration of martial law and the disarming of American citizens. The mayor, the police chief, no one who knew about it will talk about it, claiming that they were sworn to secrecy. The Army Special Operations Command at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, confirmed the event was the kickoff of a series of similar training operations going on in Kingsville, Corpus Christi, Fort Sam Houston, and other areas of southern Texas. Additional training events took place each day and will continue to take place each day until February the 20th, 4 days from now. There was no warning given to civilians in any of the cities involved. No warning. Citizens were terrified. Something that should give you cause for great alarm is that no one, not one person took up arms to protect their homes or their communities. Not one single person. If all of a sudden your city was invaded with helicopters flying at rooftop level, detonating explosives, shooting live ammunition, dropping out of the sky, what would you do? Or not do? And why not? The police lied to local businesses and local citizens lied to them. Many of the residents of the city panicked. They were not told in advance. The sound of the helicopters, the explosions, the rapid gunfire, machine gun fire, rifle fire, caused hundreds and hundreds of calls to the 911 dispatch center, and additional people were placed on duty to take the many anticipated calls. But no one did a thing. City officials claimed that they were not permitted to warn residents. The Army wanted the exercise to be conducted in a realistic environment. These are federal troops. They have no authority to swear mayors and police chiefs to secrecy and drop out of the sky in cities within the territorial boundaries of the several states of the Union. None whatsoever. But they did it. No permission from the state legislature or the governor. In fact, the governor didn't know a thing about it. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. And I quote, a civilian public affairs officer for the Army Special Operations Command at Fort Bragg, Carol Darby, said this, the training has an emphasis on urban environment training and land navigation. Before we even rolled into Texas, we did a thorough risk assessment and a safety study to ensure risk to the local population is minimized, as well as any risk to our soldiers. Minimized. But not eliminated. Anytime you use live explosives and live ammunition, and anytime you have helicopters flying at rooftop level anywhere, you have a scenario for serious accident. Not to mention the fact that a city is being invaded at night by soldiers They don't know who those soldiers are. I guarantee you, if they did that here in the Round Valley of Arizona, there would be a war. Someday they're going to drop out of the sky, and it will not be a training exercise, ladies and gentlemen. There are no American cities in Bavaria. There are no American cities in Iraq. They are practicing in American cities, ladies and gentlemen, to move ultimately against American citizens. And you had better understand that. Everything they're doing is unconstitutional and unlawful. An unidentified soldier involved in the exercise came from Kingsville and recommended the location. Planning began many months in advance, but the actual plans for the event by the soldiers involved began only hours before they carried out the mock mission. The scenario was staged as a real event would be, with soldiers having to deal with the situation quickly and without preparation. What was the mock real event, ladies and gentlemen? I know what it was. Darby said, "The benefit that this kind of training has is having something that is done in a realistic time frame. A lot of times it's a very, very short notice. We do this type of training in urban areas because of the increased urbanization of the world. Urban environments is one of the environments that we have to train in because of our deployability requirements to be able to conduct operations worldwide. We look at different areas because of the characteristics in those areas and the challenges that those characteristics present to our training. I have been, ladies and gentlemen, to South Texas. I've been to Kingsville, I've been to Corpus Christi, I've been to Fort Sam Houston, I've been to Brownsville, I've been to Harlingen, I've been to all of those towns and cities. None of them represent, even in a wild manner, the urban environment in most foreign countries. They represent the urban environment of the average American. South and Southwest City. We look at different areas because of the characteristics in those areas and the challenges that those characteristics present to our training. She said soldiers cannot always train just at the Fort Bragg facility. Soldiers need a real environment to train in rather than the fake city used at Fort Bragg known as military operations in urbanized terrain. I have also seen the fake city at Fort Bragg. It is not a mock-up of any city in any foreign country. It is a mock-up of a typical small American town. The Marines have a similar training facility at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and it also is a mock-up of a typical small American city. When asked how many soldiers participated and what their nationality was, the public affairs officer said that there will be many soldiers participating, but the number involved, and listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, and their nationality cannot be disclosed, which means foreign troops were involved. One witness to the exercise told a reporter from World Net Daily that the soldiers appeared to be multinational. The refusal of the public affairs officer to disclose the nationality of the troops confirms it. If they were just American troops, there would be no reason not to say so. But if it involved elements of foreign military forces, there would be every reason in the world not to say so. And ladies and gentlemen, this exercise was not the first, nor will it be the last. We have been covering these exercises on the Hour of the Time for many years. In fact, the Hour of the Time was the first radio broadcast ever to report that this was happening in the United States of America. The Special Operations Division of the Department of Defense has similar events planned for many locations all over the United States. And a, get this folks, quote, peace training, end quote, exercise is taking place in Louisiana at the same time as Operation Last Dance. Remember the definition for peace as defined by V.I. Lenin and Karl Marx. They said the definition of peace is the elimination of all opposition to socialism. And so these things are happening all over America as they prepare for peace. When asked if this had anything to do with President Clinton's recent proposal for a Homeland Defense Command, Darby said she did not know. The purpose of the training exercise was not disclosed, but I know what it was, and I'm going to tell you. She would not say if it dealt with terrorists, hostages, domestic or foreign scenarios. Witnesses described the exercise as extremely frightening. But even though they did not know who the troops belonged to or what they were doing, they knew that live rounds were being fired and live explosives were being detonated in their city, and not one single person took up arms. Not one. The helicopters landed one after another with soldiers jumping out quickly. The helicopters left as quickly as they arrived. Explosions came from within a two-story former Exxon building, then rapid gunfire was exchanged between two warring factions, or what appeared to be warring factions. Extensive damage to the building was caused by grenades and explosives. A vacant police station was used by the forces as well. They were using a welding torch for some undisclosed reason and accidentally set off a fire that gutted the inside of the building. That's their story. Fire department personnel say that it was most probably explosives which started the fire. Fire department was able to extinguish the blaze before damage to other buildings took place. Remember, this is not on a military base. These are not war games conducted at Camp Pendleton somewhere, or at Dugway Proving Grounds, or out in the middle of the atomic test range in Nevada. These were conducted in an American city without warning. The city has been promised it will be compensated for the damage to the old police station, which is considered to be destroyed. The Exxon building also suffered extensive damage. When asked about the damage, city officials denied that it even happened. City officials denied that it even happened. They explained that they had not received a report of any damages. But then later, they were forced to admit that they knew about it. According to Police Chief Felipe Garza, no one was injured. He also would not discuss the exercise. He and Mayor Phil Esquivel refused to give any information. They claimed they had been sworn to total secrecy. All hail the Soviet American states. Residents complained, expressed fear, said they were terrorized and did not want such an exercise in their town. I don't ever want to see such a thing ever happen again. Many spoke harshly against their elected leaders for permitting the exercise. They should have tarred and feathered them. They should have tarred and feathered them and driven them out of town. They should have kicked their butts in the town square, is what they should have done. I'm amazed that an American city was invaded by troops from the air with no warning, no marking on the helicopters, no identification of anyone, and nobody took up arms to defend themselves, their city, their state, or their country. Nobody. It was an assault upon the citizens of the city. By an armed force that has no jurisdiction or authorization or constitutional legitimacy in doing any of it. Angry citizens are now calling for the dismissal of the police chief and his assistant and the mayor. What do you want to bet? That nothing happens. What do you want to bet, ladies and gentlemen, that the police chief will not be fired and the mayor will not be recalled? What do you want to bet that that city of Sheeple will do anything except gripe and complain and yell and call for things to be done, but they won't do anything? If they didn't do anything that night, they're not going to do anything tonight or tomorrow night or the next night or the night after, I can assure you. One of the helicopters, when it roared into town, nearly crashed as it hit the top of a telephone pole and started a fire near a residence. The soldiers conducted a raid. It wasn't a mock raid. It was a raid. They used real explosives and live ammunition and machine guns. The battle lasted 2 hours. Residents and some officials were furious, and some were scared to death by what they heard and saw. Yet not one single person did anything to stop it. According to officials, Police Chief Felipe Garza and Mayor Phil Esquivel were the only city officials in Kingsville involved in approving the military training exercise. They do not have the authority to approve a military training exercise, an invasion of their town using live explosives and live ammunition. No police chief in this country and no mayor in this country has that kind of authority. Never has and never will. And no federal force has the authority or the jurisdiction or the constitutional legitimacy to conduct military exercises in any of the states of the Union, period. The only place they have authority to do such a thing is on land purchased from the state and used specifically for that purpose. Reports say that at least one other Texas mayor turned the military away for a similar request and accused them of offering a bribe. I wonder what Felipe Garza got. I wonder what Phil Esquivel was paid. Governor Bush acknowledged that calls had been coming in about the event, but no statement had been issued by Bush. Late on that Monday, a public relations spokesperson woman called with a response to WorldNet Daily. Apparently, you need to contact Fort Bragg if you need more information about this, she said. Apparently, in these types of exercises, the Army goes through local law enforcement and local officials and not through state. You know why they do that, ladies and gentlemen? Because local officials don't know diddly-doo-dah about the law. She said this is not an issue that would be dealt with by the governor's office, and I'm telling you right now that is the only office that can deal with it. Because according to the Constitution for the United States of America, no federal military force can enter any of the states of the Union unless they are summoned by the governor of the state. And all state constitutions contain a clause similar to, if not exactly worded, exactly as I stated it. Don't believe it? Get out the constitutions and read them. Other Texas communities are also witnessing similar events. Without warning, helicopters and troops swoop down out of the sky, live explosives, live ammunition, terrorized citizens. Is amazing. Amazing.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took it from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want a
new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
You to be a slave from birth to grave.
Slave.
The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private.
Private.
It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashes make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us.
I love it. Anthony J. Hilder, my good friend, and Evan Sweetwater cut these CDs. I told you I knew what this was all about. And I'm going to tell you what it's all about. It's a scenario, a future scenario, involving a presidential declaration of martial law. Under Presidential Decision Directive 25. To disarm American citizens who have refused to obey the declaration of martial law and have refused to turn in their weapons. I've told you this before. I wrote about it in my book that was published in December of 1990. Most of you have read my book, Behold a Pale Horse. and police chief. Thomas Sanchez, the emergency management coordinator for the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Here's what he says the exercise was all about. Remember, this is Thomas Sanchez, emergency management coordinator for the Federal Emergency Management Agency, where Kingsville comes under his direct jurisdiction. Here's what he said. I can tell you specifically. Here's what he said, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me carefully. I can tell you specifically. In my humble opinion, on my background, the scenario, martial law has been declared through presidential powers and War Powers Act, and some citizens have refused to give up their weapons. They have taken over two of the buildings in Kingsville. The police cannot handle it, so you call these guys in. They show up and they zap everybody, take all the weapons, and let the local PD clean it up, he said. He continued, in urban warfare, the militarization of the police, this thing got out of order. The citizens did not comply with executive order so-and-so. They refused to give up their weapons. He re-emphasized. He should know. He has all the plans. Oh, brother. This makes me sick in my heart. Makes me sick to know that we have police chiefs and mayors who would do such a thing. And that their cities are populated with vast herds of Americanus stupidus sheepulus. That's right, I said Americanus stupidus sheepulus. Eat, bleat, manufacture methane gas. Thank God it wasn't Russian troops dropping out of the sky, but it could have been, for all they know. And it doesn't matter, because it was an invasion of a foreign force that has no authority or jurisdiction or constitutional authority to do such a thing. In fact, it is unconstitutional, unlawful, it is wrong. And what are the great citizens of these cities in South Texas going to do about it? Well, they're going to bleat. And nothing's going to happen. Because they are Americanus stupidus sheepulus. And unfortunately, they're going to get exactly what they deserve for being Americanus stupidus sheepulus. And the proverbial buffalo chip is going to hit the fan not too far in the future. I would say that the hopes of the socialists in Washington, D.C. is that the Y2K problem will bring on some incidents that will call for a declaration of martial law. And once martial law has been declared, the president will call for all citizens to lay down their arms and turn in their weapons. Those who do not will be the targets of the Special Operations Division of the Department of Defense. Now, I know that some of you think I'm nuts off my rocker. Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm not nuts. It's you that's nuts, and you're going to find out within the next probably year, maybe two at the most. I don't think you've got more than a few months, to tell you the truth. If Y2K panic does what it's supposed to do, you have 8 months at most. Probably less than that. And it won't be Y2K that does it. It will be the panic that has been whipped up around Y2K by all of the change agents that have been sent out to whip you up into a frenzy panic and cause a run on banks and all kinds of other stupid, asinine bullshit to occur. That will be the cause of it. Stick around. This promises to be a very interesting, not happy, not good, but interesting to say the least, year. And I hope you're prepared for it. And if you're not, you better get prepared for it. And you better sit down and determine what's worth dying for. Because you're going to reach a point where you're going to have to make a decision. Either bend down and put the chains on your own ankles and march into the New World Order, the socialist, totalitarian, New World, utopian state, as a good little slave, or take up arms and fight these scum-sucking, treasonous rats. And you better not wait to the last minute to make that decision. If freedom is not worth dying for, then you can never have it. Stop pretending. Stop trying to fool everybody around you. Sell off all your junk that you've been accumulating. And get your little butt down to the other side and surrender. Just as quick as your little legs can carry you. Because if you don't, somebody's going to take care of you. I don't know who, but somebody will. You see, I fought in a war, and I know what happens in wars. Especially to sheeple. The worst things happen to the people who try to straddle the fence, who refuse to take sides, who are cowards, who make up the long lines of refugees in newsreels and news reports, who become the beggars on the side of the road, or the rotting corpses stinking in the sun. And in their pitiful little efforts to save their material possessions, they lose the most important things they ever had. Their freedom, their safety, their security, their friends, their relatives, and then finally their lives. With the failure to convict Clinton on the impeachment charges in the Senate, they have elevated this terrible traitor to the status of God, almost. And don't you think he's feeling it? Don't you think he's feeling it? Yes, folks, he's feeling it. He's pumped up like a hot air balloon. And this man right now is extremely dangerous because of that. The highest ranking officers of our military services have sold out. They have violated their oaths, and they're going to help take down the United States of America and establish the New World Order. They are all, every single one of them, traitors. That's why they can do the things that they're doing in Kingsville, Texas, Corpus Christi, Fort Sam Houston, and other cities all across the country that we've been covering and reporting on for several years. That's why they could do what they did to the Branch Davidians. And you ain't seen nothing yet. I know what they're prepared to do to the population at large. Most of you haven't even got a clue.
All of a sudden,
In the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, state of the fact.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to hold. That's the good stuff and keep what you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar, right? Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike.
Order
out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation.
Order.
Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program agitation.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood.
For who?
Masonic mind manipulation. Inciting riots is crisis creation.
For who?
Biochip implantation. Vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and can never be taken away. Never be taken away.
Atmospheric. Social illusion. Media hype. Planned confusion.
Masonic religion. It's a liar. Got you praying for a Luciferian Messiah.
The Illuminati thinks that they're enlightened, that they're to be the gods of Earth, born of incest from the sons of Satan and their sisters.
And what do you think about all this, ladies and gentlemen? The number is 520-333-4578. What would you do if that happened in your city, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night? Helicopters, many of them, wake you from a sound sleep, flying just inches over the top of your roof. Then they begin dropping troops out of the sky who begin firing weapons and detonating explosives right in your neighborhood. This has happened in cities all across this country. Has been happening for several years. We've been reporting it on this broadcast for years. This is just the latest in a long chain of these events. What would you do? What would you do if you ran outside to see what was happening and you saw a helicopter hovering at rooftop height over your yard and a soldier in the door was pointing a machine gun right at your chest? What would you do? This has happened to many people. what I am telling you, are asking you right now, are not unusual incidents. This is exactly what happens in the middle of the night. There's a loud knock on your door. Everybody out. Surrender your arms. What'd you do? What would you do? People in Kingsville, Texas didn't do a damn thing. People in Corpus Christi didn't do a damn thing. People in Fort Sam Houston didn't do anything. People in South Carolina didn't do anything. People in Michigan, when it happened in Michigan, didn't do anything. People in Illinois didn't do anything. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
I'm checking you out. You're right on target. This kind of thing has been going on around here. I live in Maryland. And twice, there's a little town about 25 miles from where I live. As a matter of fact, my in-laws live in that town. And twice the U.S. Marines have dropped in. And the people there, they just love it to death.
They love it to death?
Oh, they just think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, their boys in uniform strutting through the streets, you know, cocking onto the teeth.
They're doing it in broad daylight then.
Oh, yes.
And the people are warned beforehand.
Oh, they think it's great. So, anyway.
Well, that's a lot different than being awakened in the middle of the night with no warning, not having been told anything, and find troops coming out of the sky and detonating explosives and firing live bullets. Live bullets? Can you imagine that? In the middle of a city, they're flying, firing live machine gun bullets?
Well, I'll tell you, without warning, I couldn't say what if their attitude would be the same. But
mine sure wouldn't.
Oh, well, no doubt. No doubt. But there was some misguided fool took umbrage on these Marines. I guess that this guy must not be a sheeple, but he wrote a letter to the newspaper, the local newspaper, and right away, of course, you know, he was branded a nut.
He was branded a nut for complaining about troops having military exercises in the middle of his town. He was branded a nut.
Subjects. Plus, I've written my congressman. Whenever I see.
And these fools love it, huh? They probably they were probably told well in advance. They're probably earning a lot of money from these soldiers eating in the restaurants and purchasing things from the local stores and frequenting the nightlife. Is that what's going on?
Well, it wasn't quite like Waco. They didn't exactly put a sign up, but the people in this little town were just overjoyed to see all of their boys and camis running through the streets.
Boy, I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it again. These stupid Americanists, stupidest sheepolists, are going to get what they're asking for. They're going to get exactly what they deserve, and then they're going to cry and complain and moan and wail and gnash their teeth that we, the nuts, didn't prevent it.
Well, I want to tell you, it took me a while to figure things out, you know, and you can literally say that you're dragged through the door of enlightenment, kicking and screaming. But these people, man, they're going to get it. It's going to be a big shock for them.
Yes, it will.
When it finally comes down. I mean, I guess I had the luxury of having to accept everything that you told me. I was one of these misguided fools who had to research everything, that all the bibliographies and books that you quoted, and I had to...
But if you hadn't done that, you would never know if I was just another person on the radio lying to you, would you?
Indeed, indeed. And I can thank you for that, and it's been a trip. But, you know, I can't say that I'm unhappy, but when I see this happen in these towns across the country, I'm, I feel really sorry for these people.
You better get a little scared.
Beg pardon?
You better get a little scared.
Indeed. And I live out in the boonies. And these guys, I don't know. I don't like to think that they're watching me. But, of course, you're paranoid too, right? Are you following me?
Well, there's nothing that says that
a
paranoid person can't have enemies. No, I'm not paranoid. But
no, I don't think you are either. But you know where I'm coming from. But I have Wednesday night and Tuesday nights in decent weather. It's usually helicopter night.
Yeah.
And they come over. They're usually in a big Chinook, and there's also, I think, a CH-43, and they buzz over super low.
Yeah, and the law says they're not supposed to fly below 500 feet in any area, and higher than that over populated areas.
Well, that I know. And I'll tell you right now, I used to work for a tree surgeon, and I'm not saying I could touch their skids on their helicopters, but
they're close to it, huh?
They're pretty low. And my daughter has told me, if you want to, I really took notice when she said this. One day I was working, I came home, and she said one of them came over, and there's a guy sitting there in the door with his feet hanging over the edge with a machine gun. And my daughter wouldn't lie to me. You know, she's not going to, you know, she knows how I feel about these things, and she wasn't going to fan the flames any. But let me tell you, I definitely took notice when she said this.
Yeah.
As you can well imagine.
Yeah.
But
why are helicopters flying around American cities with guys in the doors with machine guns pointed at people on the ground? Oh, what's going on here? I know what's going on. It's a rhetorical question, but I'm trying to get everybody out there who are Americanas stupid as sheepolists to start asking these questions.
Well, you know, I hate to say it. I mean, I'm not trying to rattle your cage with this statement, but I have a feeling that at this point, if people don't wake up, you're sort of preaching to the choir.
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
But you see, my sense of responsibility and my religious beliefs will not allow me to stop trying. I cannot stop trying. I must continue.
You go, Bill. Stay with it, man. It's rough. But you're right. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I just got a little bit overwhelmed there. I get these, you know, I...
Well, I know where you're coming from. But it's a pitiful situation indeed. Pitiful.
And it's happening in America.
I know that. I know. And but you know, the funny thing is, people that see what's going on and can perceive this and know what's actually happening... it's, I don't know, but it's like, how angry can you get? How angry can you get? And we see it happening all the time, and it's almost becoming routine to us. But we see it, it's become routine to us for a different reason.
Yes.
And we have to be very careful because we can't let down our guard or overreact.
That's true.
Because that's what they want. They want that. And I don't know. It's like I'm a nut, you're a nut. We're chock full of nuts.
Welcome to the Chock Full of Nut Club.
Beg your pardon?
I said, welcome to the Nut Club.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I couldn't be in better hands. But I'm not sorry. And I can't go back. You know, once you...
No, you can never go back. If you don't believe that, just next time somebody invites you to a party... Next time somebody invites you to a party, just go and try to mingle and be like everybody else.
I can't do it.
Yeah, that's right. You find out real quick you are not one of them anymore. You can't do it anymore. In fact, they reach a point where they're almost disgusting.
Well, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I never learned this? But I can't unlearn, because it's like, I think it was Oliver Wendell Holmes said that if you once the human mind is opened up, it never it will never contract to its previous size.
Yeah.
And that's a very pretty profound statement.
Hold on just a second. You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Go ahead. I gotta do that.
That's what I was gonna say. And you know, you mentioned one time that you almost found yourself living in a ditch.
Yeah.
And I was telling my wife, I listen to your broadcast all the time, and I was speaking with her, and we were discussing, you know, the various things that we've noticed together. And at a certain point, if you're going to hang on to your principles, I would prefer to live in a ditch.
Me too.
I would prefer to live it, and I'm prepared to do that if I have to.
In fact, that's one of the tenets of freedom. If you can't walk away from everything you own on a moment's notice and not regret it and not look back, then you can't be free. You're not free. You're a prisoner.
It might not necessarily be comfortable, but I'll tell you this much. I could sure sleep good that night.
Oh, sure.
I could at least sleep with a decent conscience.
Yeah.
I'll let you go.
And all of a sudden you realize you're no longer a prisoner of possessions.
Take care, Bill.
Thanks for the call.
We love you, and I'll be praying for you.
Well, thank you very much. We need all the prayers we can get. And we do the same for all of you out there all the time. The number is 520-333-4578. What do you think about what's going on? What would you do if it happened in your town, in your neighborhood? You see, some people have walked out to find these helicopters landing in their streets in front of their house. And troops rappelling down lines from other helicopters. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, my goodness. Can't do that, folks. That's really bad.
Hey, Bill, I'm calling from North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And, I got the package from Dr. Wallet.
Good.
And I looked over the products and the rest of it, and I said, wow, this is really superior to anything else I've ever dealt with.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Oh, it is fantastic, and I can't wait to go buy a case.
Yeah, and that's against the law. You call in and complain, though, guess what the FAA says? They have no record of any flights in that area, no helicopters.
Oh, I know.
And then if you write the local paper or notify the police and ask them why these helicopters are breaking the law like that, they call you a nut and say there's no such thing.
Loose militia. I mean, we are prepared for Y2K, and we talked about getting supplies and putting up an armed resistance and everything else, and me and all my friends all have weapons and ammunition, put it away, and, we're prepared for the worst,
That's good, because we're going to have one opportunity, and that's it. Once they get the weapons and the ammunition, and if you don't have enough to fight an extended war, that's it.
I know, but look what the Viet Cong did. The Viet Cong threw American forces out of Vietnam.
That's right. And I learned an awful lot from those little guys running around in the woods.
Now, they were pretty determined.
Yes.
And some of them guys had World War II or World War I weapons that were antiques.
Uh-huh.
But they managed to kick out a major military power.
Yes, they did.
Because of their determination.
They believed in what they were fighting for, and they were willing to die for it. Most Americans were there because they had to be there, and they didn't want to die for it.
Oh, exactly. I mean,
and that's going to be the same way in this fight. They're going to be fighting for the United Nations, for a socialist, totalitarian world government, and they're not going to want to die for it. Nobody gets goosebumps when the United Nations flag goes by in a parade. Nobody.
Oh, yeah. And this Euro-dollar deal, I mean, this thing is going to totally upset the U.S. dollar when they push this euro dollar and it's into circulation.
Some people have predicted that will happen. Well, I don't know really what it's going to do, but I do know this. In order to have a socialist world government, they must eliminate the middle class. The only way to do that is with an economic collapse, and it's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can see that happening.
And this Y2K thing may just do it, because if people make a run on the banks for cash that's not there, the banks are going to close their doors and the economy will collapse.
Yeah. Also, you can look around the world in Canada, Australia, Great Britain, New Zealand. They've passed
Yeah, I keep telling people it's New World Order.
Oh, yeah. That's what they have in mind, because if you have disarmed people, they can't do anything.
That's right.
People, and you can step on them. You know, it's just...
Well, thank God for Australians. Most of their guns went underground, and they did not turn them in.
Oh, that's good, because I heard they collected so many that they had, you know, piles of scrap iron from
it. What they collected was junk. Everybody turned in their junk.
Yeah.
And got paid handsomely for it.
Yeah. I didn't realize that they had paid that much for them, you know.
Yeah.
But people just do not realize this. And this goes, disarmament of populations goes back through history. That every time that's done, a dictatorship is set up.
Yes, that's true.
Every time. And Adolf Hitler said in 1934, well, we have all the firearms, weapons, in this country registered, and we're going to have peace, and other countries can follow our role. Adolf Hitler said that. And all these people that want gun control, raise your right arm and salute, because they're of the same ilk, you know. And our founding fathers would turn over in their graves so they could see what was going on.
They sure would. Yeah, these socialists are Nazis. Hitler was a socialist.
Oh, yeah, a national socialist.
That's exactly right.
In the same family, but another ilk.
Yeah.
You know, exactly, you know, along with Lenin. And Mao Zedong said power comes from the mouth of a gun. Whoever controls the gun has the power.
He told the truth.
Oh, yeah.
That's not propaganda. That's the truth.
Oh, if you
give up your guns, you give up all power that you have, and you are subject to the power of those who have the guns.
Oh, definitely. Hey, Bill, you just keep it up and tell it like it is.
Well, I will. I will till my last dying breath. I guarantee.
I hold you up in my prayers. You are a fellow American patriot, and I love you.
Well, thank you very much.
And just keep in there, and God bless Dr. Wallach, too.
Oh, yes.
All right. All right. I'm going to go now. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Yes, God bless Dr. Wallach. Boy, he sure, you know, I got to tell you, there was times when I just didn't even want to get up. My legs were hurting so bad. And there were times when we were having functions, like a conference, where I'd be on my feet all day and working the camera and coordinating speakers and taking care of people's wants and needs and stuff. And around 6 or 7 o'clock at night, I was just absolutely, I was... In great pain, and I just tried not to show it to anybody, and I guess I succeeded in some instances. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill, or good evening, Bill. I just wanted to say that I learned something by watching the History Channel about helicopters. They had a special on there, and they had a little diagram that they used to teach the North Vietnamese how to shoot down helicopters.
Oh, yeah, they had a carved on the stock of every AK-47 and SKS. Everyone that we captured had that little diagram carved in the wood there showing them how to lead the helicopter to shoot it down.
Right. I was going to say, if it fits under your thumb, it's too far away.
Yeah.
But I have another barrage balloon type idea that using 55-gallon trash liners, a little helium,
uh-huh,
and 250 feet of braided steel leader line.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways to make helicopter traps. We have them all over this hill up here. Yep.
Okay. I'm glad to hear you. I found you on the 7415. I missed you after you left WWCR. I wasn't sure what happened to you, but finally found you. It's good to hear you.
I'm right here, live, well, and kicking.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill Cooper.
Hello.
Long-time listener. I'm calling up because there's probably some interest among your audience. I know there's interest for me as to if a person lives in a suburb and has an interest in purchasing some kind of home defense type of weapon, maybe like a shotgun or something, or, you know, since it seems that the gun control laws are coming down the pike every day as far as limiting our rights to have access to them, and now suing gun manufacturers as if the guns hop off tables and shoot people on their own.
Yeah, it's all unconstitutional, every bit of it.
Every bit of it. But now, let's say tomorrow I were to go to you know, Bob's Gun Shop, what do you think I should pick up as a suburb home defense weapon?
Well, I don't know. Where are you going to be defending yourself? And against what? That's what you got to think of.
What that?
I said you have to first determine where you're going to be using it and against who or what.
Well,
are you going to be using it indoors, outdoors?
Well, I would imagine I'd be...
There's nothing more deadly indoors than a shotgun.
Oh, yeah?
With double-aught buck or even slugs. The double-aught buck is really good, but you have to be careful indoors because if you've got family members on the other side of that wall and you're shooting toward the wall and they're on the other side, you may be killing your own family members.
Huh. Yeah, that's no good. So
Most people never think of that. They see a wall and they see a bullet stopping at that wall, but that's not true. All that's there is chalkboard.
Yeah, it goes right through. It
goes right through.
In-home defense, not an outdoor kind of thing, and you just want a...
Shotgun.
A what?
Get the shortest legal barrel shotgun that you can get.
And then what kind of shot that wouldn't be...
Well, I wouldn't use anything less than double-aught buck.
Double-aught buck?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I mean, you talk about you want to stop somebody.
Yeah.
If you want to stop them, you better stop them.
Shotgun manufacturer that I could just kind of leave lubricated and hidden and not have to worry about a whole lot of, like if it's going to fire or not in a...
Well, there's a lot of them out there. You just need to go and see what fits you. 12-gauge shotgun is a 12-gauge shotgun is a 12-gauge shotgun.
Really?
But you want one that has a good record of not breaking down, a good record of operating without jamming. And you need to talk to folks and find out about those things. I have a Maverick is what I've got.
You're real happy with that?
Yeah, I'm just tickled pink with it.
Okay, well, I figured, as a lot of people who listen to you,
it's a brand of Mossberg is what it is.
It's a brand of Mossberg. I've heard of Mossberg.
Yeah, Mossbergs are good shotguns. Brownings are good shotguns.
Yeah, see, I know close to nothing about this, but I figure if I'm ever going to exercise my... Second Amendment rights, it's probably a real good idea to do it now.
Yeah, I wouldn't wait any longer.
No.
I'll tell you that. I wouldn't wait any longer. People who are still waiting to prepare to think they can prepare at the last minute are fools, and they're going to suffer for it.
Hey, also about the water and food.
Yeah.
That people are, you know, taking part in preparing dry goods and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
What exactly does the water come in? Is that like a big... rubber drum or something? What did it come in?
Well, it depends on how you purchase it. I mean, you can buy the big drums and fill them up yourself and put any number of different chemicals or agents in it according to the proper proportion in order to make sure that the water stays good to drink. Or you can purchase prepackaged, sterilized water that will last for years. And it depends upon who you're getting it from and what amount you're getting and how big the packaging you want.
Mm.
But most of them come in individual, like 8-ounce servings, 6 or 8-ounce servings.
They come individualized like that?
Yeah, if that's the way you want them. You can get them in larger amounts.
Do you see an advantage to either larger amounts or the individual servings?
I see the advantage in making sure that you have a 2-year supply of food and water. However you want to stock it, and in whatever kind of container, and whatever amount is in that container is up to you.
And yeah. And now you have somebody that you suggest for that, don't you?
Yeah, we do. But Doyle is the one that handles all that stuff, and he's not here right now.
Okay.
If he comes in before the broadcast is over, maybe I'll try to get him in here and talk to you about that stuff.
Yeah, is that like an advertiser of yours?
No, he's not an advertiser.
No, I know not Doyle. I mean the food and water supply people.
No. We just picked out the people that we thought offered the best product for the lowest price that would last the longest period of time, and that's the ones we carry.
Yeah. Well,
there's lots of them out there. You don't have to get them from us. You can get them from anybody, but...
Right, well, I understand that... What I know know about you. You're a person who certainly picked the best at the best price.
Yeah, well, that's what we try to do.
Yeah. And what about the, what was that about, helicopter traps? Because that's another reason. Is because
we don't discuss things like that, tactical operations, our equipment, our methods, our procedures in public, and I doubt that you should be doing that either.
Right. Well, I just wanted to know because I feel like sometimes being close to the Dover Air Force Base, I feel like the skies here are like I'm in occupied territory, and it's only a matter of time, I would imagine, until each state gets their own dose. I'm not saying it will be down the road from me, but I know I wouldn't feel too comfortable with it, but I would feel real comfortable defending myself against that if I wasn't told if this were, you know, how do you know if they're live rounds or not? So I think I would...
Well, when you see somebody shooting in a concrete building and you see sparks flying when the bullets hit the building, you know those are live rounds.
Yeah.
And when you see explosions going off, those are real explosions. You can't fake an explosion.
Now, also, this is real simple and cut and dry, right? I mean, if there is a helicopter over your house or over some given city...
If there's a helicopter over my house and he drops an explosive or fires a weapon, I'm going to kill everybody in that helicopter just as quickly and as fast and as efficiently as I possibly can do it, and I'll do the same if I see him doing it over a neighbor's house.
In your right and everyone's right, right?
That is my absolute right. If somebody comes illegally and unlawfully over any home in my city and starts firing off weapons, I have a right, and so does every citizen in this city, to defend ourselves against those fools who are doing it.
I feel the same way. Now, one last question. As far as the foundations and trusts go,
yeah.
I was getting real bad static, so if I'm making you repeat yourself, it's, you know, it's okay to just move on. But now, are trusts and foundations just good for certain people with certain businesses, or like, you know, from everything from school teachers to plumbers, is there a real advantage?
It's good for anybody who wants to build a generational family asset so that the family can survive and pass it down from generation to generation and be able to manage the assets as a trust and take care of the beneficiaries, which are almost always the children. Doesn't have to be the children. If you don't have any children, it can be somebody else. So
right.
Another relative or like the gentleman last night, the Seeing Eye Dog Foundation or the Seeing Eye Foundation. It could be anything, but it's a method of preserving and protecting assets so that they don't disappear. You know, Americans have a bad habit of mishandling their assets. They have a very bad history of that, most Americans, and not operating as a family. And, you know, you can look around and you see that's true everywhere. And this is just a method of preserving the assets of the family. And instead of watching them disappear when whoever owned those assets dies in probate and watch the lawyers eat it all up and the state gets the inheritance tax and then everybody battles over who's going to get what and there's more lawyers come in and take bigger chunks and in the end there's nothing left. It's just a method of preserving and protecting and putting assets to the proper use throughout generations. And when somebody dies, it doesn't make any difference. The trust does not die, and therefore the trust is not probated. There is no inheritance tax. Lawyers can't touch it.
Mm. And now, isn't it true that if you eventually also form a foundation, that you just kind of donate 10% of your, reported...
You can give in any way you want. We give more than 10% always. In fact, we give a lot here. We give scholarships. We give there's a local radio station that we built here that we have contributed for the benefit of the community. We're going to build a television station. We've done a lot of other things. Many of the things that, you know, that I don't even want anybody to know about it. The spirit of giving is
right.
The more you can do it anonymously, the better off your soul is, I believe.
Oh, I believe it too. And I think the giving that you do publicly is more than anyone else I know. I just
Well, actually, I've heard it more tonight than I've probably heard in the last 2 years.
I couldn't even barely hear it tonight, so I'm not, it's not a bandwagon thing. I just thought highly of you for a long time. Also, I'm so glad that you have finally had that tape set released for Behold the Pale Horse, because it clears up all those kooks and wackos and some of those disinformationists like Coffee, the freaks,
yeah.
Crazy people,
uh-huh.
Who talk about how you are somehow, you know, pushing this idea of, you know, aliens being real. And
I have never done that. Never in my history, and even back when I believed all that stuff and I thought it was true, the first thing I told everybody is, listen, I'm telling you about things that I saw, not things that I personally know about. I don't know if aliens are real or not, but this is what I saw when I was in the Navy.
And besides, you prefaced every videotape I have of you and audio tape I have of you. You always prefaced it with, don't believe anything unless you can prove it to yourself.
That's right. That's always been my admonition.
Tape with the extra 10 minutes, and it also it clarifies and additionally brings the point home that, you know, hey, I'm reporting documentation that I saw, not knowing about its validity,
yeah.
But here it is for you to decide.
Yeah.
This is the problem. You leave certain people to decide, and it's selective hearing, I think.
Well, it is part selective hearing, and it's part a concerted, planned attack against me in order to hopefully stop anybody else from listening to what I have to say, because I'm absolutely right on target. Anytime the President of the United States singles out one person and calls him the most dangerous radio host in America simply because I tell the truth and document it and source it and then admonish my audience not to believe anything but go out and check it out for themselves, then you know that I'm telling the truth here, and that truth is bullets, and it's hurting them bad. Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Really
cool.
Bad.
Well, people don't react that way unless you're hitting close.
Yeah, that's why they sicked the whole law enforcement community, the federal government, on us.
Well, this is how distant it's all gotten, and how convoluted, where the government doesn't serve the people, but the people rather serve the government. I have an uncle who's a detective, and he has a buddy in the Secret Service, and this is something that was told to me at a backyard 4th of July party once. He said, "Yeah, you know, in the White House, the Secret Service has this name for." People who actually believe, well, they want to go see the president, and they call them White House cases. They usually, you know, lock you up and get you medical attention. And those people are afflicted with an illness, a mental illness. They actually believe the president would care to hear what they have to say. And this is how far twisted it's become.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah, it is.
As of this year, with all of the with the wonderful economy, I think what now we work to May. Well, you don't, but those who pay taxes like a bunch of schlubs and sheep.
Yeah, without even knowing that there is a law for them that requires them to do it.
Right. Well, evidently, date is now extended to May 28th. You work to May 28th.
Yeah, they do it.
Year.
They do it out of fear. That's called extortion. That's what Al Capone used to do.
Send, I do it out of fear.
Send these gangsters to go see the shopkeepers and tell them they got to pay them $20 every week, or to protect them, and they'll make sure that their shop doesn't blow up.
Right.
That's what the IRS does. That's the same thing. You know, these Americanas, stupid as sheepless, is just, you know, there's just great herds out there. Don't get in their way. They'll run over you.
Well, listen, I do it out of fear. I don't even make excuses anymore. I'm very slowly trying to find my way out of it, because I know the years of research and time it's taken you. There's no quick fix. There's no Irwin Schiff magic bullet.
That's absolutely correct. If you don't know the law yourself, then you know, there isn't anybody that's going to come along and give you a form that's going to do it for you.
And listen, Veritas on your website, that helps, because the legal documents and affidavits and stuff that you print there,
mm-hmm.
is something that you will, the public will never, ever see tools like that presented for your use anywhere else.
That's right.
No, never. And I just think that newspaper Veritas is It's just key. It's the greatest. I dumped all my other subscriptions, like the, what is it, New American and Media Bypass. They're all, you know, pretty good, but I dumped it all in favor of Veritas.
Dynamite. Good for you.
It's good stuff. Well, Bill, listen, you keep it up, and I remember you told the story one night about the strange cancerous lump you got after a projectile entering your chest.
Yeah, I still got big scars up there, too.
Well,
it's all gone.
I think it shows you that they can't take the man out.
Well, I'm not Superman. Don't bet on that. Someday,
no, I'm just saying that.
Someday they will. You can bet on that. Someday they will.
Well, you go out the way you present yourself every night here.
Yeah, you know, I'll go out honorably fighting for what I believe in, and I'll be free. I will be free.
I'm
free.
Everyone one night. You went into the differences between freedom and liberty one night, and I found that this is years ago.
Yeah.
And I found that fascinating when you were on that other station.
Uh-huh.
And you should do just the basics again, where you fill people in, like what the Declaration of Independence declared. Some of these obvious things people can glean from your show. It makes them really better informed than most college professors. That college professors in constitutional law, they don't know what the Constitution even is. They don't know it's the supreme law of the land.
That's
they don't
because
know what the difference is between the big G government and the little G government.
Yeah, that's because they're not teaching the Constitution. They're teaching a Marxist agenda.
Oh, absolutely. And the textbooks are just fraught with such nonsense. it's really propaganda. It's not even, not real history. Even.
Yeah.
And this is the stuff people are learning. And then they treat Oliver Stone. You want to hear something insane? The Oliver Stone film, you know, the Nixon.
Yeah.
You know, they came around with some educational booklet about how it was all researched and footnoted, and it's just such a crock about how, you know, there's a he took the cabal angle as running things, but he's running you in the wrong direction. It's not the industrial military complex alone, and he's Oliver Stone. Do you believe him to be a Mason as well after seeing JFK and the history?
Well, you go after you if you've ever listened to this broadcast for very long, and especially the mystery series.
Yes, I have the entire series.
Then go watch JFK again, and Oliver Stone tells you exactly who killed JFK. Remember the scene where Mr. X meets with Garrison in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, with the big phallus as the backdrop.
Yeah, he asks the question, who has the opportunity? Who has the power?
Right.
And then he says, who? And then the camera pans back, and you see the obelisk behind them. He's playing with your head. He knows exactly who killed Kennedy.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Did you think that was an accident, that just appeared in that scene right at that particular time?
Nothing is an accident in Hollywood.
You better believe it. That was planned. That was planned out very carefully. He's laughing at you. Laughing at all of us. Except for those of us who know.
Besides that film, JFK and Nixon, all of the messages of this film are, you know, give up, you're stupid, you worship serial killers.
Give up, you're stupid.
Your government's duping you and you love it.
Yeah, war is terrible. Don't expect to fight a war because war is so terrible, it's better to be a slave.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's got these defeatist messages coming.
Yeah. Did you see Platoon?
Yes, I did.
I was in Vietnam. Let me tell you something right now. Those things that Hollywood is putting out, that they're claiming the soldiers in Vietnam did, are lies. There were some soldiers in Vietnam who smoked pot. I'm sure there were some soldiers in Vietnam who took some stronger dope than pot. But I'm telling you right now, nobody went on patrol high or drunk or stupid or smoking pot or taking heroin or anything else. It's still the military of the United States of America. And I had one rule on my boat. When we go back in off patrol and we tie up to the pier at our base camp at Quaviette, I don't care what you guys do, but when you come back to go on patrol again tonight, you will be sober. You will be wide awake. You will be physically fit.
Yeah, or else you'll...
Or else I shoot them right there on the spot. That's what I told them, and I meant it. And not one of my men ever showed up incapacitated, ever.
You just didn't see it.
Pardon?
I said it was just something that was just never seen, and yet it's fictionalized constantly as
It's fictionalized as constantly being done out in the open everywhere with officers around and petty officers around and sergeants around and sergeants taking part and officers taking part, and that's bullshit. It did not happen.
Mm. And what that does, of course, is paints a picture of the past military then and, of course, the purpose of war.
And of Vietnam veterans are degenerate, whacked out, insane, crazy, dopehead, pot smoking idiots.
Right. Yeah. So they're so it totally invalidates anyone's efforts.
Yes.
As well as short circuits anyone's thoughts about defending their country honorably in the future. They just say, oh well, you know, look, it's not worth it. Look what happens.
You got it.
Yeah, and it's all a big sham anyway. When you fight, it's all kind of figured out, and it's all for the benefit of these industrialists and blah, blah, blah. Just more defeatist crap.
You better believe it.
Oh, boy.
You got it.
Well, you should. You could call your show Real History. Any night you could change the title of that. And, in fact, you know...
It's the hour of the time. It's going to stay the hour of the time because this is the hour of the time. And during this hour, you're going to determine your future. And once you determine your future, you're going to determine the future of all of us.
Do you have any futures for getting on audio on the Internet? Any plans for that?
There's something in the works right now, not only audio, but video also.
Oh, that would be beautiful. Yeah, that would be great.
I don't know how well it's going to work. All I know is that it's being worked on.
Yeah, well, listen, just the audio on that would be a big leap because granted, the audio on the Internet is only like AM quality, but some nights this shortwave, despite the strength of your signal on other nights, is so horrible.
Well, go to our website and click on Hot, the hour of the time.
Yeah.
And there's a whole list of websites that stream this broadcast. One of them is only a week behind.
Really?
Yes.
Well, see, now I visited your website. I've never seen that. I'm going to go look.
Right at the top says the hour of the time. And it's a link. Well, you never clicked on it?
I never clicked on that link. I pulled all kinds of other...
Click on the link.
All right.
That's why I put it there.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, God bless you and your family, Bill.
Well, thank you.
And I'll talk to you next time. I'll keep listening.
Well, thanks. And thanks for calling.
Oh, good night.
Also, folks, if you want to see what we're doing in the television project, if you want to see how your dollars that you've contributed are helping the television project, go to our website and click on it. There's a link that takes you right to the television project, and you can see the equipment. You can see pictures of some of the equipment, not all of it, but some of the equipment that we have been acquiring with the money that you've donated. And there's a lot more that we can't put on there. I mean, you can only make a website so big and put so many pictures on a page before it won't open until next week. And that doesn't do anybody any good. The website, for those of you who don't know it and have never been there, is harvest-trust.org. 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 And for those of you who want to write to Bob a letter so that he can contact you, write to The Hour of the Time in care of 101.1 FM, Post Office Box 940, that's P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925, USA. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
I was talking to you before, but I meant to mention that I used to be an FFL dealer in firearms, and Comrade Clinton kind of put the clamps down on me big time, and that's why I'm out of it. But I've done a lot of research and study on different firearms and ammunition and the rest of it, and if you ever need a consultant or anything like that, if I can ever help you in any which way, I'd be, you know, glad to help you.
Well, we're very careful who we consult, and I'm not trying to insult you at all, but I don't know who you are, and so I would not discuss firearms with you as a consultant or anything else. not knowing who you are.
I'd like to give you my number off the air.
Just call me tomorrow between noon and 4 p.m. our time. And that time I reserve to take calls from anybody that wants to call and talk to me personally.
Because there's a lot of people interested in buying firearms and the rest of it. And believe me, I've tested a lot of different models. I've fired a lot of different ammunition. I've reloaded a lot of different ammunition. And I know what the tendencies on some of the stuff is.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be accurate, what's going to do the job, what it does, etc., on and on and on. Certain weapons are unsafe to carry around, you know, cocked and locked, and some weapons are safe. And so people are out there buying all kinds of different things that some of it is a little dangerous, you know, and they're not aware of, you know, proper safety procedures and everything else. And so it creates, you know, quite a problem. But as to your Maverick shotgun, yeah, that's a good gun. I have a Mossberg 500, you know, which is, you know, the second cousin to it, and they work great. And as to using a shotgun in your house, well, if you use it with 7.5 birdshot or number 8s or number 9s close range in the house, it's not going to go penetrate a wall so badly.
Well, in my house, we've got that covered. The minute anything happens, the women and children go to a prearranged place where they're protected, and God help anybody who comes in that door.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, you got to do those things, you know. But a lot of people, like you say, they're sheeple. They don't think about these things till the last minute. You know, they're not prepared. And where I live in North Carolina, I carry a 9mm pistol around with me everywhere, you know, because I can carry it, you know, without a permit right out in the open. So it's no big deal. And, you know, I know the sheriff and I know all the deputies and the rest of it, so it ain't no big deal at all, period. But as I suggest that people should own a 12-gauge pump shotgun, a 22 semi-automatic rifle, you know, Ruger 10/22 is a good one. A 22 pistol, Ruger 22 pistol is a good one. And as personal defense, a 9mm, you know, auto-loading pistol. I prefer like the CZ-75, you know, or GZ-75 is a good one, and a Browning High Power is a good one. And you know, as to a military rifle, well, I suggest an AR-15, like made by Colt, or a Chinese-made AK-47 type variety gun, or an SKS, or an M1 carbine, or an M1 Garand. You know, these are all good weapons.
Mm-hmm. I only would differ with you on one thing. I wouldn't recommend a 9mm. I wouldn't recommend anything less than a 45, but those are all personal preferences anyway.
Oh, I also have a 45.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm...
if I have to shoot somebody, I don't want them to get up.
Yeah. Well, I have...
Because I don't want to have to shoot them again.
I have the customized model 1911 45 with all the trick stuff on it, Pacmire grips and Pacmire release and, you know, barrel bushings and, you know, the whole 9 yards and, mm-hmm. you know, 50 yards, I can hit, you know, a can of 50 yards, no problem with it.
Well, my rule is this. I don't want to shoot anybody, but if I have to shoot somebody, I want to make sure that they don't get up.
10-4. I mean,
period.
You're on that. I mean, you know, I love people. You know, as a Christian, I'd rather evangelize people than shoot them, you know. But there are some idiots in life that you can't do anything with them. I mean, they're out to kill you, you know. And so we must be prepared, you know. We have to hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
Yep.
You know. And, you know, and if I can do anything to, you know, help, you know, my friends,
Yeah, but unfortunately, we can't be worried about each individual. They're going to have to somewhere, where they're at, learn all these things and take care of it.
Yeah.
We can't do everything for everybody. I mean, they've got to be responsible about some things themselves.
Yeah, and that's, I realize that.
Let's see if we can get some more people in here before we run out of time, and we're almost up to the three-quarter mark of the last hour.
Okay. Hey, Bill. God bless you.
Thanks.
John.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
520-333-4578. It's 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. This is Diana in Texas.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
Okay.
I miss you.
Goodbye.
We miss you.
Oh, well, I... Same back. would you like some information about this?
Sure, go ahead.
City council meeting in Kingsville.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, according to WorldNet Daily that I took off the internet yesterday, the article was called Fear and Loathing in Kingsville, Texas. They said in that article that angry, this is a quote, angry citizens are expected to crowd the next city council and county commission meetings, both scheduled to be held February 22nd. Well, I talked with the city of Kingsville, and I can give you that phone number. They are having a city council meeting at 6 p.m. on February 22nd. It's held at the city hall, and that is at the corner of 6th and Kleberg, and that's spelled K-L-E-B-E-R-G. That telephone number to the city of Kingsville, City Hall, is area code 361. That's a new area code. 361.
Okay.
595-8002. She then gave me the name, the number for the, I asked her for the county commissioner's number. She gave me a number. They answered county judge office. But anyway, I asked about the county commissioner's meeting. She said they meet every second Monday of the month unless something comes up that they need to discuss. The next scheduled meeting for the county is not the 22nd of February. It is 10 a.m. on March the 8th. She said on February 22nd, the county commissioners will be attending a conference in College Station.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So they've short-circuited the people, and all the people are getting ready to attend this city council meeting on February the 22nd, and they won't be there.
No, no, no. The city council is going to be there at 6 p.m.
Okay, so you're talking about who?
According to this article, the city council and the county commissioners are both meeting on the 22nd of February.
Oh, I see. The county commissioners won't be there.
They'll not be.
Okay.
Unless they change their schedule. And here is the number for the county judge's office, okay?
Okay.
It's 361-595-8585. And that's not scheduled until March the 8th as of today, because the county commissioners are supposed to be in College Station.
Uh-huh.
But the city council will meet, as of today, they will meet at 6 p.m. on the 22nd of February.
Oh, wouldn't you just love to be there?
I plan to.
Oh, wonderful. You can give us a...
I want to get there early enough to go to the library and get some real articles out of the either the library or the newspaper and
uh-huh.
Answer these things off the internet.
Good for you.
Yeah, and so I'll let you know.
What day is the 22nd?
That is Monday.
Would you like to call in that Monday night and give us a report on the air? Wonderful.
Oh, no, I won't be back. I probably won't be back till the 23rd because I'll have to get up so early on the 22nd, and it's at 6 p.m.
Okay.
I won't drive back that night, most likely.
Okay. Well, call us on the Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay.
Will do.
And call me right at 6 o'clock, and we'll put you right on the air.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right.
That's 6 my time. That's 7 your time.
Right. I know. Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Diana.
Okay.
One of our people. And I'm sure you all know that. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill? Bill?
Yes.
Yeah, this is John from Pennsylvania.
John, can you talk louder, please?
Yes, I can. First off, I had a little theory I was thinking about here as far as the jet spraying. I just wanted to see what you thought about it.
No, we're not going to discuss that. See, Veritas, it's either this next issue or the one after, is going to expose the whole truth about that stuff.
Can I just say one quick thing about it?
Well, hurry up.
Do you think it could possibly be the pharmaceuticals that are behind it?
Well, I don't think there's anything behind it. We've done our research. It's all baloney.
Okay, can I ask you one more question?
Nobody's getting sick from jet sprays.
Okay, one more question. When you were in Vietnam, what did you think of the AR-15?
You mean the M-16.
M-16?
I thought the M-16 was a piece of crap. It was always rusty. I couldn't keep the rust off of the darn thing.
And it didn't function?
Well, the early models didn't function well, but after they fixed the problems with the chamber, then it cycled okay, but it was just a rust bucket. I mean, we were on a river, and not only that, but when the monsoon came, it was 3 months of rain. And so everything was wet and moldy, and everything stood up well except the M-16. It was a piece of rust is what it was.
The bolt would seize up inside the receiver?
On the early models. Thanks. Thanks for calling.
Yep,
520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, folks, on those contrail stuff, we're going to set you straight in Veritas. And just like always, you can check it out. You'll find out that it's true. Contrails are not making anybody sick. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Mark from Southeast Arizona. This is a beautiful state, huh?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
God's country. Well, thank you.
I've been with you for, I don't know, about a year and a half or so, but I've picked you up since I've been around here lately. And you're right on, completely right there. I'm kind of nervous right now. I'm talking on the air like this.
Well, don't be nervous. You're amongst friends.
Okay. Well, I've probably only got about a minute left here. I'm on a phone card, and I'm almost out of time, I think. So just thought I'd let you know I've been into what you've been into since I was 14 years old when I first got turned on to the Trilateral Commission.
Uh-huh. Well, they'll be listening next year, I guarantee you. But it might be too late by then.
What's that?
I said, but it might be too late by then.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess your phone card ran out.
1 minute left.
Oh, okay.
And, I don't know. There's a few things I wanted to tell you tonight, but I just can't get it out. I living here, you know, with all the Border Patrol and everything, it's incredible. I've lived in the border in Texas, and I've lived in the border in Arizona and New Mexico, and the way they treat you for the last 15 years already, they've been treating people like it's another world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
New world. I mean, they're always constantly pulling me over.
It's the Gestapo, man.
Ask them, do I fit a profile or something? You know, it's just, I don't know.
Gestapo. The Gestapo.
Yeah.
Gestapo.
Right.
Hitler's alive and well. Living in the United States of America.
Yeah. Like you said, it's the United States.
Hello? Hello? Well, I guess he's gone. 520-333-4578 is the number. And need to know, what do you think about what you heard tonight? What would you do? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Dave. I'm calling from Texas.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Wanted to give you a little information. Apparently,
need you to talk a lot louder, Dave.
Apparently, the governor's office, they met today, and they said that this wasn't an issue of the governor's office, that it was a local issue.
Yes.
So, just as Ann Richards turned her back on subversive operations in Waco, George Bush seems to be
Yeah, well, his father. Look at who they are.
Right.
Where they've been. What right. They represent.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's it.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. 520-333-4578 is the number. I certainly appreciate all these calls. As you can hear, my voice is not back to normal, but it's getting better. My throat feels better. I feel great. Just the part between my shoulders and my head doesn't feel so good. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. How are you? Calling you from Buffalo, New York.
Good. Oh, Buffalo.
Yeah. I just heard you talking about weapons, and I couldn't agree more with you. I think anybody who's going to get a weapon should get one that they feel comfortable with. I prefer the .45. I'm a Vietnam vet myself.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, you want to grab, if you're a vet, grab a weapon that you're used to, you're familiar with. The AR now is not a bad weapon. Except that it's a lighter caliber.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of ammo available for them. That's an advantage, plenty of parts. And for anybody who's been in the service and knows anything about them, the parts suppliers, I mean, you can build your own parts supply. There are a number of companies besides Colt making parts for them. Bushmaster, Olympic Arms, and, of course, the guns that we had in Vietnam, the early days of Vietnam, are not the AR-15 of today.
No.
Or they call them M16s. We have heavier barrels, tighter twists. They're capable of shooting heavier ammunition than we had back with the A1 when we were there. The chamber problems and propellants have been solved. The buffer assembly is not the same. It's a much different gun now than it was then.
Yes, it is.
And I think that...
You know the best weapon for close-in combat that was ever developed is, don't you?
Well, probably the best weapon?
Yeah.
Probably the M1 Garand.
Nope. AK-47.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my next choice for anybody who can get a hold of a good AK. They're limited in range, but they're very rugged.
Yeah, that's why I said for close-in fighting. It's the very, very best ever developed
weapon. They're simple. They have no... they have they're moving parts. The bolts are massive. They're not prone to break down. They have no detents and pins and springs that are extraneous like an AR-15. If you're going to get an AR-15, I would advise anyone to get a U.S. Marine Corps service manual and to buy spare parts. Build yourself a spare parts kit for it.
Yeah.
Lower trigger parts, detents and springs that hold a takedown pin, firing pin. When we're in Vietnam, those detents tend to break, the takedown pin, your
mm-hmm.
pivot pin and all that,
yeah.
Have detents in them. You have a detent in your selector switch. You should get the spare parts kit and get yourself a U.S. Marine Corps or Army service manual on one. And I like, your other choice for shotguns, I agree with you on a 12 gauge. There's some school of thought that was lighter for in-house use of shooting something smaller like a 5, or 7, something like that, but you're dealing with a normal intruder like a burglar, not a heavily armed assailant, in most cases, and I think the double lot is the way you want to go.
Yeah, it'll do the job.
And, there are some people even who think that maybe number one might be a better choice because of a larger number of pellets in it for a denser pattern. But I'll stick with, any of those, actually.
Yeah.
But you just mentioned the other weapon when you mentioned the AK that I was going to mention. It's a good weapon. I know plenty of guys around here that have them. In fact, there's going back to the AR real quick. You can find a lot of late model NATO ammunition called SS-109, steel penetrator. If you've got a late model AR, you've got a tighter twist barrel, 1-9 or 1-7. You want the steel core, the penetrator,
in
my opinion. It's it's got a small steel penetrator in the tip, and it's better than the old 55-grain ammunition that we used to use, the M193.
You know, some guy told me something once, and I don't know if this would work, and I'm not telling anybody to do it, but, it might work. He told me that if you drilled a little hole in the tip of your bullets, and put a little, about a quarter inch of tungsten welding rod in there, that's something really neat.
I think I've never tried it, I've heard that, but I've never gone into to doing that. I was thinking the same thing. If you get a little bit of this stainless steel rod, you can usually find it at one of the hardware stores, the big supply places, that's like, Builder Supply or some of those.
Yeah.
They have a small stainless steel rod.
about, I would say, roughly. They vary in size. Sometimes you can find them as small as about an eighth of an inch.
You know what? We're out of time.
Yeah, okay. Well, you could probably try it with that, and I think it would work. But anyway, I love you, Bill, up here in Buffalo. We all listen to you.
Well, thanks a lot.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Think about what you heard tonight. Think about it long and hard, because they'll soon be playing at a theater in your town. Only it won't be a theater.